Hi there, guys. Hello, Ezra. Welcome along. Well, if you're not making your way to the now opened hardware shops, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. And today we begin at verse 145, Psalm 119, and that will be what we look at today, and then that will take us this week, Monday to Thursday, through to the end of the psalm, and we'll be finishing up our daily time on Thursday. But fear not, we'll still be here, Lord willing, on Sundays. But turn with me now to Psalm 119, and let's pray together just as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that your word is unchanging, that your statutes have been established to last forever. We thank you that we can turn to your word now, words that have fed and enriched and informed generations of your people. We ask that in our time together, you would feed our hearts by your Spirit, that you, Father, would enable us to keep your decrees, that we would learn afresh to depend upon your love. In the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, let's read our next section together from verse 145. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you establish them to last forever. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But he's calling out to the Lord from the heart in the opening verse in 145. He's calling out to the Lord to answer him. Answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. So this heartfelt cry that he begins with is one that he needs an answer and wants an answer too, but the reason he wants an answer at this point is that he will obey the Lord's decrees. Now, he's not kind of bargaining with God. It's not as if he's saying, well, Lord, if you answer me in this regard and you did this for me, well, then I'll do this for you. I'll obey you. Rather, his incentive right through this psalm has been that he wants the Lord to answer him because his desire is to obey and he's seeking an answer, so that he will continue to move towards obedience. And that principle comes through a lot and is there in verse 146. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. So clearly he is in need of help at this point. He's asking the Lord to answer him, to save him. He's calling out. But his desire isn't simply that he will have a resolution to a personal problem and that as the end result only. Rather, he's calling out again in order to facilitate obedience, in order to know and understand more of the Lord's statutes. He wants to keep them. And verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. So he's an early riser. He's getting up before the dawn, before it's dark, and he's crying out for help. So, I mean, yes, there is a deep sense in which the psalmist is a man of prayer, who delights in prayer, and that is modeled right through. The whole psalm itself is a prayer. But in this instance that he gets up before dawn, he's crying out for help. There's a sense of urgency about his need at this point. But as he says that, he affirms his solid conviction in the Lord's word. I have put my hope in your word. So he connects prayer with the Lord's word. He always brings them together. And that is a very simple and profoundly helpful model of prayer for the Christian, that we pray the words of the Lord. You might not feel you know what to pray. You might not know how to pray whenever circumstances are really against you, or when you're lost for words, or when you are perhaps praying with other people and you're a bit self-conscious maybe. But the psalmist, he relies upon God's word, and his prayer is an expression of God's word, and we can use the psalm itself towards that end. And here he asserts that he has put his hope in God's word. So he always ties together his need and the Lord's word. He brings them together and wants to understand his circumstances in light of it. And so he gets up very early and cries out for help, affirming his hope in the Lord. And then verse 148, it really jumps out at us. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Now normally, if you're waking up several times through the night, you think that that's a bad thing. You know, we say to one another, are you sleeping? Say, well, no, I'm not sleeping very well. I keep waking up during the night. We would generally think that that's a bad thing, because it generally is a bad thing. And here he's saying that his eyes stay open through the watches of the night, so he's awake a lot, that I may meditate on your promises. So it reads as if he's kind of setting his alarm several times through the night so that he can get up and read the Bible. And in this particular instance, it does seem to be what's happening. Now, this isn't how the whole psalm is written, but there seems to be on this occasion that yes, he wakes through the night, and he wakes that he might meditate on God's promises. Now, there does seem to be, though, a hint that it's more than just him being very devotionally minded. It's more than him just being deliberate about meditating on God's word in order to enrich his heart. It also seems to be a reality that trouble is near, and we'll see that in verse 150. Those who devise wicked schemes are near. So there is a sense in which he is troubled, and that his trouble is on his mind, and that there is a sense in which it's keeping him awake. But at the same time, there is a desire to meditate upon the Lord's word, and for that to be the thing that occupies his mind, even through the night. And so in this case, there's both going on. And there is this very deep sense of this period of time, a 24-hour period in this kind of coming across, where he really wants to focus on the Lord's word, whatever it is that's going on. And there may be a time in your life, there may be a day, there may be a season, where you feel that real deep need to focus, specifically meditate upon the Lord's promise over a particular period of time. But it doesn't mean that this is how he goes about life every single day. But it is an expression of how deeply seated the word is in his life and in his heart, that when he wakes in the night, his thought is to meditate on the Lord's word. It's a good idea to have a Bible by your bed, so you can read it before you go to sleep. And should you wake up in the middle of the night, and if you think, goodness me, I'm not going to get to sleep anytime soon, well, grab the word and read it. And here he cries out, not depending upon his own ability, but on the Lord. Verse 149, hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. So he's not trying to manipulate the Lord into answering him. He's not trying to force the Lord to answer into him by having his clock set for 6-7 times a night and making the Lord answer him. He's not trying to earn the Lord's favor in that way. He's saying, hear my voice in accordance with your love. So he depends upon God's grace. He depends upon God's covenantal promises. God, who has moved towards him in love, he depends upon the Lord's grace. So that's what he is moving towards. And he's asking the Lord to hear him according to that. So there's no sense in which you have to manipulate the Lord into answering you, or twist his arm into answering you, or somehow earn the right for him to answer you. Rather, we say to him, Lord, hear our voice in accordance with your love. Hear my voice in accordance with the gospel of Jesus Christ and all the merit that that gives me, the perfect merit in Christ that I have, and hear me according to your promises in him. And that is what the psalmist relies on, in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your laws. So everything comes back to God's word, God's promises, God's character, and that is what he's depending upon. But the wicked are near, in verse 150. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. So this near and far thing comes up in this closing section. Verse 151, yet you are near, O Lord, and your commands are true. So this is why I think this section is not simply just him being very devotionally inclined, though he is. There does seem to be that he's losing a bit of sleep because of the reality of how close those who are against him are. Verse 150, those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. So he wants to be near the Lord, because those who are against him are very close by, and he's acutely conscious of the presence of them, the proximity of them. But he comforts himself by knowing that they are far from God's law, therefore far from the Lord. And he derives comfort from knowing that the Lord is close to him. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. You are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. So he's not groping out in the dark trying to find the Lord in this section as if he's far away. He's not up through the night because he finds the Lord distant. He's not crying out because the Lord seems absent. Even if it feels like that, sometimes in our experience, he affirms here this truth, yet, you are near, O Lord. He is rock solid confident of the Lord's proximity, and it is real to him. And there are times in our life where we will be more acutely conscious of the Lord being near, of his presence being right by us, and we derive great comfort from that. There are also times where we will need to affirm that to be true, even though it doesn't feel like it. And the psalmist is affirming the reality of the Lord being close by, close like a next of kin, close to care, close to bring help, close to answer him as he calls out, and close to deal with the reality of the presence of those who are out to get him, who are scheming to bring him down. Yet you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. Whatever's going on for him circumstantially, he doesn't think that the Lord has somehow ran from him. The Lord is near, and his commands are rock solid. And we need those types of affirmation in our life of the Lord's presence, of the fact that he is near, of the fact that his word continues to be solid, continues to be true, continues to be relevant, and that the Lord continues to be faithful to us. So whatever it is you may be experiencing at the moment, I know we're a long way into this lockdown thing and things are just starting to ease up and our minds are all over the place and it's been very disorientating. Be assured that the Lord is near. Be assured that His word continues to be true. His commands continue to abide, to be as faithful and relevant as they ever have been. And the Lord is near. Think of the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus when He said that He would be with us. He would be with you even to the end of the age. And He has given us His Spirit. And He is near, even when the wicked seem to be knocking on the door. And He affirms, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. He looks back on his life. He looks back on his learning of the Lord's statutes. He looks back on when he came to appreciate and understand the depth and wonder of the Lord's ways. And he knows that the Lord has established them to last forever. I look back on when I first was introduced to the scriptures, introduced to the Bible, introduced to the gospel. And that seems like a long time ago now. But long ago I learned that the Lord Jesus and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures, the Bible, are trustworthy, worth giving your life too, worth everything that you can throw at them, because the word of the Lord is life changing. It's why I'm standing here this morning. It's why I do what I do. It's why you are listening in. And the Lord has proven himself faithful. This psalmist says, long ago I learned that you established them to last forever. The word of the Lord is not seasonal in the sense that it never has a time where it is not relevant, where it is not trustworthy, where it does not have a place, where it will no longer be heard, but they are established to last forever. Forever. Whatever it is has brought you to this point. Whatever it is we may face going forward, moving on through the other side of the grave and into eternity, these words that we are reading today will last forever. Because these are the words of the Lord, the words of the gospel, fulfilled in Christ. And that is why we can call out with confidence to the Lord to answer us, knowing that he is indeed near. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that we can call out to you. Lord, we pray you would answer us, that we might obey your word, that we might obey your gospel. We call out to you. Lord, bring to us that wonder of your salvation. Father, we pray, as James teaches, that we might draw near to you, that you would draw near to us. Teach us, Lord, when we rise and when we go to sleep, to put our confidence in your word. Lord, whenever we wake through the night, whatever our thoughts through the day, may we meditate upon your promises. Hear, Lord, our voice in accordance with your love. Preserve us, O Lord, according to your ways. Even though, Lord, those who seek to oppose us and your word, though they are close, Lord, we know that they are far from you, but you are near to us and your commands remain true. Lord, we have learned long ago that your ways, your statutes, they, Father, are established to last forever. And we thank you for that truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen.